You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Real Housewives news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Hello, everyone. Unfortunately, I am not in Los Angeles anymore. I am back in New York, and I'm so excited to discuss Real Housewives of Beverly Hills with my two favorite co-hosts, DJ Jesse Janity and Jackie Moran. Jesse, Jackie, how are you guys?
What up, girl? I'm chilling.
Hey, guys. I'm so excited to talk about our Real Housewives tonight.
And last night's episode was pretty action-packed, and I can't wait to discuss Pandora's engagement party, which was exactly what I would have expected from a Real Housewives of Beverly Hills party. And I do want to discuss Russell's very first appearance on this season. I know us three and a lot of people on Twitter felt very uncomfortable, so we'll discuss that. But the first topic I wanted to go over was Estella, who is Mauricio, my favorite house husband. His mother got a facelift by Adrian's husband. And I wanted to get your opinions on this, because as I was watching the show, I was thinking to myself, okay, this is the second time in a month that I've had to see someone's facelift on one of my favorite reality shows. Because, you know, we hosted the Kardashian wedding, which obviously is uncomfortable in itself right now. But we hosted that, and we saw Kris Jenner's facelift live on television. And it made me really queasy. And it's like, I don't want to see this on television right now. And I felt the same way last night. I mean, I felt like Kyle felt. She was crying, brought to tears by it. But, you know, I really don't want to see someone's surgery. I really don't want to see, like, the afterwards. And I don't know. I like that Kyle basically said that, you know, she doesn't really advocate plastic surgery. That's very rare to find in Beverly Hills. So, Jesse, Jackie, what did you guys think about the facelift?
I mean, I felt like it was the Halloween episode. She was a mummy. She was wrapped up like a mummy afterwards. So for that reason, I let it pass. Also, I do the A-List Dallas here at AfterBuzz TV. And I recently just saw a guy get a colonoscopy on the show. So after that, I can pretty much handle everything. But she was really scary, the after effects. And, you know, I know in your notes you said, I don't like to mix friends with business. Totally agree. I don't know if I would.
I know, right? Thank you for bringing that up. I forgot to say that. Watching it last night, I thought to myself, because Kyle was like, of course we choose Paul. He's the best in the business. But what if, God forbid, for some reason, something happened? That's why you don't mix friends with business. And obviously, it turned out, well, what if she didn't like it? You know, I just really think that was a bad mix. Go on, Jesse.
No, I mean, absolutely. Kind of like looked over this part because it was kind of like the boring part of the episode, but I mean, it didn't bother me as much. It's just uncomfortable for me, period. One, because it's like, I hate to say this, but how old are you and why do you really want this now in your life? Is it really gonna help you? And you didn't even look bad to begin with. You were aging. And so to me, I just see like a lot of insecure issues. And you know, the fact that Kyle wasn't for it, I really, you know, respected her in that sense. I wish she was a little more vocal. But, I mean, what are you going to be vocal to your mother-in-law like? So, I don't know. It was probably the most uncomfortable part of the whole episode, even more so than Russell.
No, oh, you think it was more uncomfortable than Russell? Okay, well, then we'll talk about Russell soon. But, Jackie, I want to hear your opinion. I think Russell was by far the most uncomfortable, but this one was pretty high up there in making me queasy. Jackie?
Yeah, I have to say, you know, it's funny. Mari, I think we've hosted too many shows together because your notes could have been literally matched exactly to my notes. The first thing I wrote down was like, what is with this theme of showing plastic surgery the same episode as like party themed episodes? It's like two parties and a plastic surgery, you know, segment. It's like it totally doesn't fit with the theme of the Real Housewives. I mean, it does in the way of they're from Beverly Hills, but that's not what this show is about. And it wasn't even one of the main characters, which again, to me, was like, why include this? Maybe they had a shortage of footage because of the Russell thing and they needed to throw something in there, but for me, it was one of the parts that made me the queasiest and also one of the most boring and, to me, unnecessary parts. But I think the creepiest part about it was the fact that, I agree with you, Mari, it wasn't the creepiest part of the episode because I think the Russell part was. I mean, someone looking like a mummy, I totally agree with Kyle. It was didn't need to see it. It made me upset. But I have to say, the Russell portion made me even more upset.
Okay, well, then let's just get right into it. I do want to say before we talk about Russell, though, you know, we're kind of saying that Estella maybe shouldn't have gotten this plastic surgery and should have aged gracefully. I do want to say, other than that, I really like her and think she's an awesome mother-in-law. She's a sex therapist. And I don't know, I want to see her more on the show. I wish I wasn't seeing her plastic surgery, but I always like seeing her on the show. She was in a couple episodes last season, and I always like seeing her. But, okay, so Russell, I actually thought it wasn't as bad as what I was expecting in the preview. I did not like seeing him on camera, but it was very, very fast. It was very, very quick. He was barely in it at all, which makes me think, if he was barely in it at all, why did he need to be in it, period? You know, it's like what that dinner was not essential to any storyline. The storylines of the season, Brandy, Kim and Kyle, you know, all of that. Those are the big storylines they seem to be playing up. And I don't know. I don't think, and they still could have done the whole Lisa Taylor storyline without him. They were getting along fine without him. And so when Bravo made the decision to show him, I thought to myself, okay, there better be a good damn reason to be showing him. It better be something that is essential to the storyline. And he was only in it for a minute. And so it's like, why did we even need that minute? It's very uncomfortable to watch someone who's taken his own life, like, watch him months ago. And I don't know, it kind of gave me a little insight also, though, because he seemed very insecure. I mean, normally, if I chose to put myself in the public spotlight, I would also choose to ignore any and all rumors that the tabloids put out there. But he was so upset by this rumor that he wants to stage like a witch hunt and figure out who leaked this rumor to Us Magazine about them separating. I just thought it very odd. I guess I got more insight into why he did what he did, but I still don't think it was a good decision on Bravo's part. Jesse, it sounds like you agree.
Totally. I totally agree with you, Mari. Seeing Russell wasn't uncomfortable for me. I definitely have to go back and watch the first season now because I'm thinking some really crazy thoughts, guys. Like, I don't even know where to start right now. First of all, let's just start with the fact, awkward, are they even friends, Taylor and freaking Kyle? Because that was the most awkward dinner ever. Like,
Taylor and Kyle are friends. They became very, very close in the first season, and they are good friends. Not the husband, but Taylor and Kyle are friends.
Okay, because Mauricio looked crazy. If you went back and watched as he walked into the house, his facial expression was really odd. It was just really, really odd. Like, when you're being greeted by somebody, I don't know, you just at least say hi or have a smile, and it just looked like he was upset, mad, and who knows what happened beforehand, but I felt that vibe throughout the whole night. So I don't know what his drama is with Russell, maybe. That could be something involved there, but it was just an awkward dinner for me. I wouldn't want to be at that table last night.
I mean, I think the reason why they were looking so awkward, Kyle said it herself, you know, Taylor is telling them all of these terrible things about him, and then to see him, you know, face to face, he seems like a very nice guy, but when you're hearing terrible things about someone, obviously you're going to think terrible things, and so I think that's kind of set the tone for them being uncomfortable.
Well, okay, so I'm just going to put some stuff out there, and you guys shut it down if it's totally off subject, because I'm new to this, and I just call things how I see them, and I don't know too much background as far as last season goes, but I just feel like looking at how Russell was reacting, I feel like exactly like you said, very insecure, but at the same time I don't really get a bad guy from him. I don't get evil. I don't get manipulative. I don't get that vibe from him. I get very timid. I feel like he's very uncomfortable with the cameras. And I kind of feel like that may cause such a big rift in their relationship that, yes, he does get upset and may say things to Taylor he probably shouldn't say. Part of me kind of feels like maybe Taylor's saying things and taking them a little bit out of proportion, and Russell's not that bad of a guy, and maybe you just aren't happy in the marriage. And maybe it's not all his fault. You know, I don't know. I don't know what it is. And the only reason I'm saying that is the way he was acting last night was very, if you look at his hand movements and just look at his body language, very uncomfortable around the camera. I feel like he doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want it involved in their life. And if somebody's going through something, if I was going through something, I wouldn't want those cameras shoved into my life. And who knows if that was all Taylor's doing, of wanting those cameras there. Kind of feel like Taylor wants to be on the in crowd, and Russell doesn't fit that picture. Russell likes to keep...
No, I think what you're picking up on is accurate. I think that he did not feel comfortable being filmed. And Taylor has even kind of said that. She basically says that anytime he was filmed, he'd act different, and that she almost subconsciously signed on to a reality show because she knew if there were cameras in their life, then he couldn't do anything to her in terms of domestic violence because the cameras were rolling. So he always acted very on his best behavior when the cameras were rolling and differently when they weren't. I don't know about that, but I know right after he died, his family, Russell's family, basically blamed Bravo, you know. I don't think this is someone who is comfortable being on a reality TV show. That's for sure.
Well, so I want to ask you guys, what do you think? Do you honestly think... I mean, I know we don't know him to really, like, go all out and say anything, but do you think he was that bad of a guy? Do we think that...
I think he must have, you know, he must have done something to Taylor, yes. But I think that Taylor is taking it a little extreme by going to the media and saying, oh, it could have been a murder-suicide. Oh, these cameras protected my life. I think that's going too far, but I don't think he was an angel, no.
Jackie, what do you
think? I don't know, guys. I think Russell, to me, you know, I just have to chime in because, Mari, the way you said that his family blamed Bravo, I've definitely said my piece about my opinions on what Bravo should and shouldn't have aired and their decisions as far as airing the show and being, you know, sensitive to these people. But at the same time, you can't blame anybody other than yourself for things you choose to do. So Russell, no matter what, at the end of the day, if it's uncomfortable for me to even talk about him because of what happened, and therefore it makes me feel like it's insensitive to discuss him at this stage before this tragedy. But what I will say is that he is a grown man, and he has to sign on to agree to be letting cameras film him, and he did. So no matter what, that is something he agreed to. So I don't think he could handle it. He definitely seemed like a dark, I don't know if it was just because his lenses seemed a little tinted dark, but he just seemed so dark. Everything about him felt like a big black cloud should have been stenciled in over him. There was just such a creepiness oozing out of him, in my opinion, watching it. And you don't know if you're looking at it through different colored glasses because of the fact of what happened, but to me, I just felt you can't deny the energy. And I felt a total dark energy from him. But no matter what, he signed on to do this. Well, so that's really his fault at the end of the day, no matter what was wrong with him. And Taylor, he definitely just, to me, seems like somebody who's a fame, kind of like, you know, obsessed with fame and wants to be famous. And you know what? There are people like that. No matter what, though, Russell didn't have to. I bet husbands, if they didn't want to be on it, didn't have to be on it, kind of thing. You know, he wasn't invited to the party. There's easy ways to work him out of it. So you can't really blame anybody for that kind of tragedy other than himself, in my opinion.
Right.
Not only are there easy ways to work him out of it, there are easy ways to just edit him out of it. We've gone this many episodes in without even seeing him. And people on Twitter, I think, are totally agreeing with us because Ashley Nicole Spills tweeted, "I don't know how I feel about watching Russell when he's no longer here." That's basically everything I saw in terms of tweets. I didn't see one saying, "Oh, I actually like seeing Russell. You know, please, viewers and listeners, let me know if you're the lone person who thinks that." But I think overall, people didn't like seeing him, and it wasn't essential. I would have only merited Bravo's decision if it was something that was essential to a storyline. But he was only in it for a minute or two, and I just didn't see the point of it. Jesse?
I feel like they put him in this episode because they're going to show more of him. So this was kind of the easiest way for them to ease him into an episode. Jackie, as far as the dark cloud is concerned, I do think that we are looking at him with that already planted in our brains. I tried not to, and that's why I'm looking at it. I'm trying to look at it from a different perspective. That's the type of person I'm. I'll always, no matter what I hear about somebody, I'll always try to look at it from all different perspectives because we're all the same people, and stories can be told in so many different ways to make anybody look a certain way. So I tried to go into this with a very open mind. I didn't see a dark cloud over him. I just saw somebody very insecure, not supposed to be in front of a camera. And you're absolutely right. We can't blame Bravo. Absolutely not. The contract says you can't blame us. You signed it. Absolutely. But like a lot of other reality shows I've seen, a lot of people don't know what they're getting themselves into. And interesting you said, Taylor, a fame-seeking wife, because who's her best friend? Dana. And so then when I started putting pieces together and saying, who is Taylor really? That's my question. We actually have our caller calling in right now. Caller, you're on the line. What's your name?
This is Erica.
Hey, Erica, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful. You want to join our...
So, Erica, we were just discussing Russell's appearance on last night's episode, and I saw you were tweeting about it. So what do you think about Russell being on last night's episode?
Well, since we only saw a little snippet, I can't help from thinking about last season where we saw him at the Palms when he was very controlling. So I think that he was trying to control himself too much. That's what I felt when I was watching it.
But do you think it was, like, uncomfortable to watch him?
In the beginning, it was a little uncomfortable, but then I kind of put it in the back of my head that he's passed away and everything happened. I just kind of watched it for the storyline to see how he behaved at a dinner party and just to watch it as a normal human being without any predisposition. And he just seemed very cautious of what he was saying. But then on the other hand, he's also a businessman. Businessmen have a tendency to be a little bit more cautious of what they say, especially when cameras are around.
And now, Jesse, you brought up an interesting point about Taylor and analyzing her character. I think I brought this up in the first episode of this season. I really liked Taylor last season, and then after the season aired, I found out some things about Taylor that I thought were shady, but then I felt bad judging her this season because of everything that's gone on in her personal life. But Taylor does seem very fame-hungry. Her real name was Shayna Ford, and she lived in Oklahoma. She changed her name to Shayna Taylor, and then Taylor Ford, and then Taylor Armstrong after she married Russell, you know, moved to Beverly Hills. I don't know. She seems kind of fame-hungry to me, but I felt bad talking about her in this way after everything that's happened. But now that she's going out to the media and talking about Russell and how the camera saved her life and this and that, I don't know. I'm kind of putting a taking a closer look at Taylor. What do the three of you guys think? Jesse, Jackie, and our caller?
Well, I want to ask you guys, I kind of want to add an extra question to that. I don't want to make a full decision, but the thing that really upsets me, and actually I do am upset with Bravo for this, I don't want to see their marriage counseling at all. One, because I want to see Russell's. If you're going to show if you're going to show the other two, show his. You have to have it in the contracts in order for it was filmed, so it has to be. You have to be able to release that. So don't say, "Oh, we're doing him a favor," because you're painting him already in a negative light. So to me, there's just a dark cloud over that whole family, and it's not fair to the daughter that's involved. I think at this point, Taylor needs to leave the show. I don't think she will, because I think she's getting what she wants right now, and that sounds so horrible to say through such a hard time for her family. But I just am really... I feel like next season's going to be more awkward to actually see Taylor being taped and her reaction and how she reacts after the fact. I don't know. What do you guys think on top of that?
I mean, they weren't filming when the death happened, so you wouldn't see her immediate reaction.
No.
Weren't filming then.
No. I'm talking about just how she is.
The aftermath.
Yeah, like how she is she just going to be able to jump in it and just be happy? And that, to me, is what I'm curious to see. Because I kind of feel like Bravo's giving her that extra heads up, that extra... I feel like Bravo's kind of helping her in a way be this, like, look at Taylor. She's being so strong, and she's gone through so much, an abusive relationship, a death, and she's just this strong woman. I don't know if I believe that whole story.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jesse. You know, you really made a good call on the fact that the right thing to do probably after this after the season is to not be on the show. But she's getting, as you said, and it sounds a little sad to say, you know, or almost feel almost inappropriate to say it, but it kind of does seem like she's getting what she wants out of it. And you know what? I want to compare her to Camille for a second, who things got really ugly with, apparently, with, you know, everything going on last season with her. And she, I can almost guarantee, now I don't have, you know, proof, but in my opinion, she sat down with producers and had a talk and said, you know what, if I'm going to be on the show this season, I'm going to have to make, you know, a total change, take a stand at what you show and what you don't show, because we're seeing, like, this great version of Camille. And that's something I think Taylor should even take a step further for her family's sake, like you said, for her daughter's sake, and really step back from the spotlight. But I don't think she's going to do that. But I do think that's what she should do.
Well, Jackie, do you think that...
I mean, you guys also need to keep in mind that she has absolutely no money right now, and she's been left in a financial mess, and she, like, is a housewife. So in that respect, staying on the show and staying in the media spotlight is a good idea in the financial respect.
Erica, what do you think?
Yeah, I was thinking on the same money line, and as well as Camille has had a lot of training on how to deal with media, how to deal with producers. She was involved in Kelsey's whole interaction. She's very with it in terms of that. I don't know if Taylor has that to quote unquote deal with Bravo in that sort of sense. So I don't think that Taylor could be as you know, as wise as Camille in that way at all.
Yeah, I mean, Camille's almost on like a different level. But I mean, what do you think of Taylor as far as where she really stands through all of this?
Part of me feels bad for Taylor. I feel bad for what happened. And last season, you know, before he committed suicide and everything, I didn't feel so bad for her. I didn't like her so much, but there is a sense of sentiment that goes into it. But then when you start hearing everything that's in the press and in the media, you start to wonder, you know, are you just feeling bad for somebody because you know what happened, or do you truly feel bad for them? So I'm still on the edge of how I feel about her. I personally like the fact that she brought Dana into the show. I didn't get enough of Dana last night. her. I don't think we got much of her at all, except for the cake tasting scene, which was so funny.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. I actually, you know, I'm putting my foot in my mouth for all the shit I talked about Dana. I really, really missed her in last night's episode, and other people on Twitter were saying the same thing. But we did get to see that lighter side of Taylor, and good to know, I guess, her party-throwing spirit hasn't changed. Jesse and Jackie, I know you guys probably missed Kennedy's fourth birthday party last year, but she basically planned this extravagant party, like, that's more suited towards, like, a 16th birthday than a fourth birthday. It was very adult-themed, and it was several thousand dollars and very over-the-top, and Dana was actually the person who threw it, and she got a lot of shit for it, And so I love how this year she's like, oh, I'm going to keep it kid-friendly. It's all about Kennedy, except kid-friendly with a $2,000 cake and 200 people. So I feel like she's just as clueless as she was last year.
Yeah, that is...
Jesse?
That's a lot for... I mean, it's a fifth birthday. Where are we going with this? Like, are you having a petting zoo there? Like, what is being involved? Get a couple of your closest friends. Or Kennedy's closest friends. I'm sure she doesn't know 200 kids. Five years old, you're not on Facebook. So I'm sure she does not have 200 friends. Who's coming to this? I mean, I'm sure your family's not even that big. It's just a little inappropriate. The cake is, like, very extravagant. But let that be the most extravagant thing at the birthday, then, if that's what it's going to be. Because, I mean, as a little kid, to see, like, a 3D horse cake, I guess that would be cool. You know, but I'm very interested. I feel like... And this is what I'm starting to see now, because now she's friends with Dana, and now I'm tying, because what's the term they say? Birds of a feather flock together. Dana's very right. Like, I spent this, I did this. And I'm wondering if that last year's birthday party was, like you said, more to show off what I'm capable of putting on. You know, she goes to Adrian's elegant spa day. She's going to Pandora's elegant engagement party, and it's her turn to throw together a shindig. So it's almost like, oh, we spent $2,000 on this 3D cake, and there's 200 people here that really probably don't even care about my daughter. So I just feel like it's more about showing off what she has. Inappropriate to me.
I don't, you know, when I was watching this scene, I thought to myself, a cake, $2,000 for like a 5-year-old? Are you kidding me? And even the woman who worked at Rosebud Cakes was like, 200 of your closest friends, huh? You know, it's like laughable. And I'm like, I truly thought to myself, Mari, you're an expert because you're from Beverly Hills. But I thought to myself, as an East Coast girl over here, is this really how they throw parties in Beverly Hills? And then came the Muhammad party, so I was like, okay, I guess so. But I think the funniest thing of that whole scene was the snippet of Dana was all it took to get that Dana fix, where she's like, we did so good, yay!
I mean, I think people are totally agreeing.
Sorry, go on.
On Dana,
right?
Yeah, I mean,
no, I just think... Dana is so funny. I mean, you're right. People on Twitter probably want more of her because let's hope she's not the typical housewife, and she certainly isn't, but not in the way we expected, right? And it's so funny to me. I love watching her.
I know. I love watching her. I missed her, and I actually missed Brandy, but people on Twitter definitely seem to be agreeing with the fact that Taylor's birthday party choices were more than over the top. Susan K. Alexander said, Taylor needs to get a Carvel ice cream cake and not a $2,000 cake for 5-year-old birthday party. And Lunar Libra 77 tweeted, it's weird watching Taylor plan another opportunity for conspicuous consumption. I mean, her daughter's birthday party. So, I don't know. Taylor has seemed to make it pretty well through the season. Like, you know, we really liked her. She got a lot of props during game night. for breaking up the fight, and fans have seemed to really like her this season. I think last night's episode was maybe the first time, I don't know, except for the snake scene when she was terrified of snakes. That was hilarious. But Erica, what did you think about the birthday party and her plans?
Well, you know, I had a flashback to Kyle's birthday party that she threw last year, and how she was talking about this, and how Beverly Hills birthday parties are over the top. So, you know, they're not going to go to Costco and get the $17.99 cake. They're going to get something a bit more extravagant. But given the fact that they're having financial difficulties, you would think that these are things that people would take precaution on before actually going in front of the media and going to a cake store like this and being like, oh, I'll have a $2,000 cake. Which then, you know, when you start comparing money throughout the night, $2,000 starts to look like nothing.
Right. And could you kind of see, like, maybe, I mean, I don't know how controlling Russell was last season, but I'm sorry, but if we were in having financial issues and you're spending $2,000 just on the cake, and then we have 200 people coming, what else are we going to feed them? I would have to be a little controlling in a sense of like, girl, get it together, because this is our money, not your money, and I love our daughter, but we can't be spending no $2,000 on a damn cake. Thoughts?
I couldn't agree more.
Well, you know who can spend $2 million on a cake is probably Mohammed. And now, before we talk about this insane party, I just want to give our listeners a little insight into exactly who Mohammed is. His last name is Ameed, and he apparently designed, built, and decorated his home himself. And he also developed Ritz-Carlton hotels in New York, Houston, Washington, D.C., and Aspen, Colorado, and has built commercial and residential developments and high-end custom homes in Beverly Hills, Aspen, and Mexico throughout his 30-year career. That Bel Air mansion is known as Le Belvedere, and it was originally listed at $85 million in 2009, but is currently about $50 million. It has 10 bedrooms, 14 baths, a grand ballroom, Moroccan room, Turkish hammam, 19 elevators, and a swan pond. And so even though we saw some of that last night, we didn't even see how ridiculous the house actually is. So let's talk about this birthday party. Maybe should we just all go around saying our favorite part? I don't know. My favorite part has got to be Daddy Woman. What's her name? Daza? Oh my God. I was dying. And please, will you guys let me know, is Daza not the perfect next season, quote unquote, friend of the wives?
Yes.
I need to see Daza more. She is freaking hilarious. And oh my God, she's just speechless. Talking about calling her husband Daddy and just everything she was doing was so hilarious. I need to see her back on this show. She was by far my highlight. Jesse, Jackie, and Erica.
I loved her as well. This party was so random. I liked the Moroccan theme. It actually reminded me, I was like, wait a minute, didn't the girls from New York go to Morocco? And I was like, interesting, it's brought into this now. But like from the beginning, like, hi, let's get out of our limo and be greeted by a camel, to a woman with a snake, to this woman who is like, I can't even explain what they were doing. There was one woman who was like backing up and like getting them to bend their leg over on one head, and like, I wish we could on camera right now so you could see the hand movement I'm doing, but I didn't understand it. But my favorite part of the entire Daddy, like, she was second. My favorite part was the freaking mermaid who filled the pool with crystal meth. Because what was that woman on? I was like, I was like, is that Dana? Because what she was saying, she's like, she was flopping around. She's like, I'm a mermaid. Like, are you a dried fish out of water? I've been at a club before, and they've had like little jacuzzis in the club with girls dressed in mermaid outfits. It was amazing. The girls just sit there, they drink champagne, and they move very slowly as if they're these beautiful mermaids. This girl was, I was kind of embarrassed, and almost like I was like, that's kind of really tacky. She was like, you fed her, was the pool filled with wine, champagne, Pinot? Like, what was it? Because this girl was flopping all over the place. I can't even remember all the words she was saying, but it was hilarious to me.
Jesse, I can't believe you took my favorite part, too, because when that moment hit, I mean, between the camel, between Taylor being afraid of the snakes and getting out in her horrible shoes, may I add. I don't know if anybody else caught them, but yes. Taylor's shoes were horrible, I'm sorry to say. But Camille, just that quick moment where she commented on the mermaid, where she's like, wow, she's really flapping around. There was that to me, just Camille's one-line reaction to it, which I'll add to it, Jesse, was the best moment. I laughed so hard at that part. And then I guess because we shared the same moment, I'll add another one. Kyle, with her split, was pretty, that was a good split. And I love Lisa's reaction where she's like, yeah, I did that in, what I think she said in the 60s or whatever. But those
yeah,
are definitely
like,
my standout.
Yeah, she was like, I could do the split in bed in the 60s. She's hilarious.
Right.
Lisa's one-liners are by far my favorite, and I'm actually really looking forward to the reunion, only because they're going to put together another montage, I know it, of Lisa's best one-liners, because they did it last reunion, and it was, like, the most hilarious thing ever, because she says the most sexual things ever.
So funny. Erica, what did you think?
Well, I love Camille's one-liner. I think I rewound that four times if I had trick-or-treaters coming to my door because I was just dying. But I have to say, did you guys then see the mermaid come down the banister? That was
yes.
Unbelievable.
Oh,
yes.
But she took her fins off for that one, though.
What was that? Who does that? She was definitely intoxicated, without a doubt.
Yeah, she would have had to
leave. Okay, and now... I need to know, I'm not the only one, right, who thought the woman calling her husband daddy was creepy, right? Because on Twitter, Itty Bitty Crazy, which I guess we can tell from the Twitter handle name, tweeted, I'm sometimes shocked by how narrow-minded these women are. It's okay to call your husband daddy if you want to.
Oh, absolutely.
No, it's not.
No, Mari. Absolutely it is. That I understand what the other girls were saying. You know, I think it was Adrian... You know, Kyle really didn't want to say it, but it's like, Kyle, girl, please, you know you and Mauricio will be out on that trampoline and you'd be calling him some names, like, please. But the reality is yes, you when you're in that moment, you call him daddy, you call him whatever you want to call him, and he's probably got nicknames for you. But to be walking around a party, I'm thinking, like, is he your are you an escort? Like, that's what was tacky to me. Like, if you were walking around being like, cuddle bear, like, what? No, we don't do that in public. You call me by my name or, like, honey or there's certain, like, in public names you use, and daddy is not one of them. Otherwise, you get placed in the category of an escort in my sense. Because daddy would be somebody that is paying for the things that you do. Now, if he's laying it down in bed, like Mauricio said, then that's when you say it. Or like Adrian said, how do you say hurry up faster in Spanish? You know, those are the types of names you use in bed, not at a party.
Well, I don't know if anybody
really
ever wants
to bring up. Sorry, go on.
No, I was saying, I don't know if anybody wants to hear hurry up as a nickname, but...
I just thought that was
either way.
I think Adrian was saying that. Adrian's just so funny because they fight so much. They like her and Paul. So that's hilarious that like the thing she says to him in bedroom is hurry up. But
right.
I don't want to talk about Russell again because it's kind of a downer and I'm having fun talking about the party. But I do want to quickly ask about your opinion about, obviously we don't know exactly what happened between Russell and Mohammed, but it sounds like it was quote unquote an extensive falling out. And so Lisa asked Taylor not to invite Russell, and Taylor was like totally fine with that and came by herself. That to me wasn't even as uncomfortable as Lisa and Taylor at the party. It's like Lisa keeps asking, how are you? How are you? Because she knows Taylor's not okay. And Taylor's just keeps fakely smiling like, I'm good. I'm good. Because she doesn't want Lisa to know what's going on in her life because she thinks Lisa is the snitch, which, by the way, I 100% do not think Lisa is the snitch. Even if she's best friends with the editor of Us Magazine, I highly doubt that she's snitching stuff about Taylor to the magazine. So what do the three of you think, Jesse?
I definitely agree. Don't think she's snitching. But I kind of think that that's tacky to not invite the husband. I mean, if they had a falling out, you still, to me, you'd either, I don't know, it's a difficult situation. I don't remember, you guys remind me, did Muhammad say that he didn't want him invited, or was that just Lisa saying, no, I don't think that that would be a good idea to invite him? You know, I don't personally, the type of guy that I see Russell as, I feel like Russell would have even went. But to at least extend the invitation, you guys, this is, you know, Beverly Hills. You're supposed to be above all of that. That's what, you know, they proclaim that. And I don't know. I just thought, again, the whole situation where I feel like Taylor wants to be a part of the girls. She wants to be a part of the clique. So it was okay because I'm still getting to go. And it just worked out. Russell was working and wasn't there. So I kind of, again, saw a little bit of Dana in Taylor with that situation. Because personally, I mean, I guess maybe she's not loving her husband at the time, but if you don't invite my significant other, I'm not coming. No offense, but I would have to find something to do with them because it's just how, I don't know, that's how I work. I don't know. What did you think, Jenny?
Well, it's a touchy subject. I think that, to be honest, I think Lisa was trying to be, and it might have even been a producer level thing, you never know, but I think it's the kind of thing where they wouldn't have been invited, but because Taylor is part of the show, you know, and they're trying to have all the women there probably, it was kind of like, okay, well, the only way she can come is without her husband kind of thing. So it was almost, to me, like the best Lisa could offer, because otherwise I don't think they would have been invited as a couple, because that's normally what would happen. If you have a falling out with someone, you just don't invite the couple. I think it was almost like trying to please Bravo, trying to please, you know, Taylor, maybe, you know, however it worked, so that she could be on camera. But so I don't really have anything against Lisa for all this, and I don't think she leaked anything. I think she's classier than that.
Erica?
Yeah, I don't think Lisa had anything to do with this. It seemed like it was almost on a legal level, just by the way they were talking about it. It seemed so hidden and almost like legal.
I agree with you, Erica. One other question, guys, with that. Do you guys, I don't know. I know you guys like Kyle, but, and I do like her, but she just has been coming off to me as very over-exaggerating. And I just got that again at that dinner table. I don't want to go back to it, but I don't know, just with a lot of things, with her facial expressions when something little happens, and she just makes it this big thing with her face. And, you know, going back even to, like, last week, and then at the dinner table, I just feel really uncomfortable. Like, what, is he going to sue me next? Now, that could almost come off in a joking manner, but I didn't take it. I understand when people do throw it out there as a joke. I didn't take it as a joke from her, though. I felt she was just really trying to be overdramatic about it.
The thing is, they put these women in these confessionals, you know, to discuss everything, and obviously they're going to take the best one-liners. They take from Lisa the most hilarious one-liners, and they tend to take from Kyle the most dramatic one-liners, and she knows that that makes for good TV, so I don't think that that's necessarily anything bad against her personality.
Okay.
I have to agree with Mari, actually, on that one.
Yeah.
Erica, I think she was just being real. I think that's actually the real part of the Real Housewives. She's just worried. She's like, I hope you're not, I'm not going to be next. I mean, it didn't seem like anything that she was being crazy or anything like that.
And so I wanted to talk about one last topic with our caller before we go into a quick commercial. Kim's new boyfriend, Ken. So I want to get everyone's opinion. Let me just quickly share on Twitter. Nikki Nix wrote, Kim's boyfriend looks creepy. I don't know, I kind of agree. The most interesting tweet I read, though, and I want to discuss this. So JFilippo14 wrote, are Kim and the mystery man married? I saw rings. And we saw, well, again, it's in predictions, but we saw that Kim had something big to tell Kyle, and Kyle was very upset. So do you guys think they, like, eloped? And what do you guys think of this mystery man? He seems very, very nice to me. not very handsome, but he seems very, very nice. And I'm just shocked that they've been dating for a year and Kyle doesn't know. And to me, it reminded me of like a mother-daughter relationship, like a rebellious daughter and an overbearing mother, as opposed to, you know, a sister telling a sister about her boyfriend. So what did you guys think about the whole thing, Jesse, Jackie, and Erica?
First of all, you already know what I'm going to say about this. Sketch. You met him as you walked out to your mailbox. He was standing at my mailbox. What? This is not Cougar Town, because on Cougar Town, that's how they be meeting guys, like, at their mailbox. That's weird. That's sketchy. You're in Beverly Hills. Why is it this guy? And I don't... This is so judgmental of me. This man is just hanging around your mailbox, and... hey, why not? Awkward. That's just weird to me. The whole situation's weird to me. I think that adds to a big part of why Kim's been acting different. You know, let me put it in this terms, and it kind of goes back to the Taylor Russell situation with not being invited to the party. Kim was invited to the party, but if she's dating somebody and she's really into him, she can't be around him as much as she normally wants to because she's keeping him a secret. Every chance she gets, she's going to want to be around him. So to me, that's why she hasn't been going to a lot of these functions. It kind of gives her a chance to not have to worry about anybody else finding out. Why are you hiding him? Probably doesn't have as much money and she's embarrassed by it. And then as far as being eloped, I wouldn't put it past her. I really wouldn't put it past her. She just seems very like low key with the sense. It's like she can hang with the girls in Beverly Hills when she wants to, but she's so far from that now that she kind of just doesn't really want to bother going back into that world, but she does because Kyle's there and her other friends are there. So she, you know, she keeps bouncing back and forth. But yeah, I could definitely see them have gotten eloped.
You know, it's funny that call on Twitter, whoever that is, because I not picked that up, but it is a good call because it doesn't really make sense to me why Kyle seems so mad. I mean, I guess not telling about a relationship, but it seems like it was almost a stronger reaction than it should have been. But if that would be the reveal, then I would understand Kyle's reaction. So I'm very curious to see how that plays out. But what I will say about the Kim meeting part of it, Jesse, you called that so perfectly, because what I wrote in my notes was, unless he's the mailman, this meeting was very strange because it just sounded so weird. And unless he works for the United States Postal Service, I'm like, what? Who's just standing there? So good call on that, Jesse. But he does seem nice. And, you know, so I do feel bad saying anything. I mean, they seem like they might be very happy from that quick moment. And I'm happy for her for that reason. And you know what? If somebody's willing to deal with Crazy Kim, you know, more power to them.
Erica.
I totally agree on the mail thing. I was thinking the same thing. He has to be the postman. The other thing that I'm saying is I judged him immediately, judged the book by its cover, guilty. But when he started talking, it seemed pretty genuine. So I do feel that Kim is almost putting herself as a little sister, because she's actually older than Kyle, but she always makes herself seem younger, that she's looking for approval from Kyle. So I can't wait to find out how this plays out and how Kyle reacts to this.
Yeah. Well, Erica, thank you so much for joining us on tonight's show. I want to give you a chance before we go to a commercial to tell all our listeners how they can follow you on Twitter. I love your Twitter handle, so you'll have to share it with everyone.
Oh, yeah. It's at My Life in Lubies, and that's the name of my novel. So that's how you can follow me.
Oh, and what's your novel about?
Oh, it's about wanting it all and getting it all and seeing if it's all worth it. A lot of what we watch every night on TV.
Well, Erica, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and please call in again.
Will do. Thanks, ladies, and Jesse.
Thank you, Erica.
Thank you.
And let's go to a quick commercial break before we get back to some news and gossip and some more predictions.
The biggest new media platform on the web just got bigger.
More bandwidth, smoother streaming, lightning, fast downloads.
And get technical with me.
AfterBuzz TV is making the jump to hyperspace. Join the fun at your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Look at the size of that thing.
AfterBuzz TV.
Okay, so in news and gossip this week,
AfterBuzz TV News.
Brandy was on Access Hollywood Live. I caught it, and they were asking her all about game night, which after last night's episode seems like old news, but, you know, it's always interesting to hear. She basically said, in regards to game night, it's hard. I think we all have regrets about that night. I don't think Kim or myself are that way. We just had a long night. I don't actually think she was on Crystal Meth. I don't even know where that came from. And then she basically updated what's going on with her and the Richards sisters. She said, Kyle and I have talked and I've apologized and she's apologized. I have not spoken to Kim. I tried throughout the whole season. And in terms of putting herself on this reality show, he said, I was kind of wondering if it was the right thing to do. At the end of the day, it's just a TV show, and I have an amazing family and friends that love me, and I'm not going to let these women get to me, and I needed a job. And in terms of her dating life, she said, I like tall, dark, and handsome men. I just like somebody who is sweet, good smile, good conversation, a happy person. I cannot deal with a negative person. So what do you guys think about Brandy?
Question, do you guys think that Kim might be a little intimidated by Brandy in the sense of this might be her replacement on the show? You know, Kim can always come in now because she's tied to Kyle, but she doesn't go to events. She doesn't really make herself shown on the show. I'm wondering if Bravo, you know, is like, you know what? Your contract may not be up next year, and we're trying out these two girls, and maybe that's why Kim's holding this grudge a little longer than she should?
I don't think so, only because I don't think they would ever kick Kim off the show because she's hilarious to watch. And I think the reason she doesn't go to the parties is because she had her biggest blow-up last season with Kyle. That was at Taylor's birthday party, and ever since then she's like refused to go to any big party, and so I think she just doesn't want to put herself in that situation. I think the reason she's not talking to Brandy is, like she said in the spa episode, like, this isn't someone I was friends with in the first place. I have no need to be friends with her. She's just one of those people who doesn't feel the need to have her in her life, and, you know, I can't blame her. If they were friends beforehand, then it would make sense, but they were never friends. So, you know, why try? Why make the effort?
Okay, and I hate to get back into it, guys, but even to that, it kind of upsets me with the sense of, Kim, you can't even open up and look at, you kind of did cause the rift. I understand it was an inappropriate word to use, but if the situation was flipped, I believe Kim would have lashed out the same way. Maybe not using that choice of word, but I wonder if the word slut would have came out if Kim was put in the corner the way Brandy was. You know, so I always say, look at the other person's, you know, put yourself in their shoes. You know, I'm not a huge fan of Brandy, but with this situation, I just think Kim's holding a grudge that she's holding on a little too tight.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I've said this throughout this whole thing. Brandy, I don't understand where Kim gets off being so tough on Brandy. I think it really is almost a jealousy thing about her being maybe younger, prettier. I don't know. Now, I don't know what it is with Kim, but that one back up against the wall comment compared to everything he said to her, just ignorant on his part.
And let's talk about Camille. She basically got in on the game night drama and said, I don't know if Brandy has taken the heat off me. I think that both of us have gone through a lot. Last year, I definitely had a lot on my plate. And then as for Taylor, she said she's doing well. The last time I saw her was a couple weeks ago, and she looks fantastic. She's very strong, amazing, the strength to find in adversity. I thought it was interesting that she said she doesn't think Brandy took the heat off her. I think that Camille is loving what's going on, as I talked about last episode. She uses every chance to try to say, oh, I was Brandy last year, and you guys just, you know, took Kyle's side. Now, don't you see, I was the bullied victim.
I see that, Mari, to a point, but part of me also wonders if she may like it for a different reason, the different reason being, I'm not the bitch anymore. Brandy's the bitch, and I can kind of almost slip under the radar and metamorphose into Camille Grammer, the one we all love this season. So I wonder if, not that she, you know, I know she made the comment of, I was Brandy last season. She's only made that comment one time. So, and, you know, it's interesting because I don't know. Camille, I love her to death, but she is a little cougar. I don't know if you guys were watching her last night's episode, but you can kind of really tell the type of guy that she wants. And he's young, short brown hair. She was really feeling a few of the guys at that party last night. So I'm
Jesse, you know she's dating a brunette Greek boy now.
I'm sure she is. And I'm sure he's very attractive from the men that she clearly has taste in. But, you know, so I don't know if she's more the line of trying to jump on the boat of saying, I was her last year. I think she's more trying to jump on the boat of, oh, shoot, I'm out of the radar. Let that on Brandy, and Brandy can have that. I feel for her because I was there last year, but I'm above that now. You know what I mean? I kind of feel like she's in that boat.
You know, I think she's just sympathizing with Brandy. That's really my take. I know, Mari, you wanted to dig into Camille based off last season, but I really think she's just like, I understand that. I was there. But the thing is, with Brandy, look at Brandy. She's being portrayed as, okay, the bitch of the season. But you know what? Was she really that bad so far? I don't know. I don't think so. So I'll find any way to defend Camille. I'm going to send her again here. Sorry, Mari.
Yeah, and then I wish Courtney was here to call in to defend me and my skeptical view of Camille this season. I know that's not her real self because I saw her real self. But anyways, Taylor finally denied that she's dating the star of Most Eligible Dallas, Matt Nordgren. She said, it's not true. He's not my boyfriend. He's sweet and just as handsome and as can be. He's such a great guy. We're friends. We have mutual friends in Dallas. We end up running the same circle whenever we see one another. But he also has a wonderful foundation called the Leadership Foundation, and I work with domestic violence. We're trying to partner on some charitable efforts. Seems cute as a button, but no. And then she claimed that getting into a relationship is too soon, and I need some more time.
Well, I'm glad she isn't. I'm sorry she isn't, because I just Googled him to see what he looked like, and I feel like that's more Camille's type.
You just want to set up Camille, don't you? You're so funny.
Well, no, because literally those are the types of guys that Camille likes. I couldn't picture if Taylor was with a guy that young and who looked like that, I would almost feel like she might have poisoned Russell to death. You know, like, then I would really think the story didn't happen the way that it's happening. If she was already in a relationship and she was with somebody that looked like that, then I would feel like some Stepford Wife type thing, you know, like that movie Stepford Wives. So, you know, but I'm glad she's saying that she's not in a relationship, and I'm glad she made the comment, I need more time before being in one.
You know, the thing is, yeah, the whole Taylor thing, though, is that if you think about it, guys, if they were separate, like if their marriage was kind of over, what it seemed like to me before this tragedy happened, how much does that kind of suck for Taylor in a way? Because how can she date without looking kind of like an insensitive person to the public? So you kind of got to feel bad for her a little bit, no matter what's going on. And I wouldn't be surprised if she doesn't admit it even was dating, because how would that make her look so stupid? But at the same time, other than her daughter and what am I to her, I mean, she's a selfish woman. If they didn't really have anything salvaged before the tragedy happened anyway, like, I wouldn't really hold anything against her.
Yeah. Well, why don't we get into some predictions? We basically made our most major prediction already about, is Kim married? But let's get into the rest of them.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay, so while we don't know whether Kim for sure has a ring on her finger or not, we know that we're going to be seeing even more plastic surgery because she gets some sort of procedure done by Paul. Yet again, mixing friends with business, not a good idea. And then I'm so disappointed because Camille has a new psychic. You guys missed my most favorite episode in all of reality television history, which was last season's Dinner Party from Hell. And Allison Dubois, the electronic cigarette smoking psychic, that I guess the inspiration behind the show Medium. She claims that she can converse with dead people, and she was the craziest psychic I've ever seen in my life. And I'm excited to see who this new psychic is, but no one can beat Allison Dubois. So, bravo, if you're listening, bring back Allison Dubois. I want her. And then in terms of what Kim's secret could be, I'm betting it's that she's married because she's too old to be pregnant. And then the only other thing I can think of is that she's moving houses, and I know Kyle cares a lot about that. So, Jesse, Jackie, what do you guys have for predictions?
I don't care about the plastic surgery. Camille and the new psychic, that just sounds exciting. Just putting the girls with something crazy again. Love that. I really want to go back and see last year's psychic after that. I kind of feel like Kim's going to have a hot mess episode in the sense of we find out that they got eloped and are moving in together. Jackie.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the case, that's going to be like kind of a bombshell. But I'm really curious to see how this Kim and Kyle thing plays out. You know, the plastic surgery thing, I don't know if I'm so worried about the Paul relationship thing. You know, I mean, I just don't really feel the need to watch plastic surgery on this show. I mean, but it is Beverly Hills. I mean, I guess that's kind of like a cliche thing there. I don't know, Mari, you know better than me, but from an outsider's perspective. But I'm really most looking forward to the whole Kim Kyle kind of uncovering of what's really going on.
Well, actually, one other thing before we head out. Lisa made a comment today, last night, that she kind of said it twice, and I'm wondering what Kim's reaction is going to be. I feel like Kim and Kyle are going to just look over it, because I don't think that they would try to step towards Lisa. But when Kim called Lisa and said she couldn't come, Lisa said, oh, just come for one drink. Oh, I guess that was a little bit of a mess, because Kim for one drink, that would be funny. And she made the comment twice, and I just kind of feel like, ooh, well, you're kind of going against Brandy for making the comment about being a meth head, but you're sitting here making comments about Kim having one drink, that she couldn't have control over just one drink. I don't know. I just didn't like that. I love Team Lisa all the way, but I just didn't like that comment. And I wonder if it'll be brought up ever.
Yeah, I mean, he said it in the confessional after saying it on the phone, and I don't even think Kim picked up on it. I don't know. Obviously, saying that isn't as bad as saying that someone's on crystal meth. I think the reason why it was awkward was because last season, Kyle thought that Kim was dealing with an alcohol addiction, and she thinks that again this season. And, you know, Lisa's obviously close with Kyle, so I don't see anything really wrong with that. But Jesse and Jackie, I'm so glad I got to join you guys for yet another week of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I'm so excited to join you again next week. And for our other reality TV show fans, we will also be hosting America's Next Top Model on Thursday night, so make sure to check that out. And as always, you can find us on Ustream and on iTunes. So thanks so much, and thank you to our guest caller, Erica. And have a good week, and we will see you all next week.
Bye.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Views expressed herein are those of the host only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.